We have the latest on moves to cut Russia out of the international financial system after its invasion of Ukraine. I'm David Brancaccio. The U.S. and allies in Europe have effectively cut Russia's central bank out of the global financial system. And despite Russia nearly doubling a key interest rate to 20% this morning, the ruble is now 107 to the U.S. dollar, down 26% from last week. The U.S. Treasury Department said this morning it is freezing the assets of Russia's central bank and imposing sanctions on a key Russian government-backed wealth fund. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with new official details of the sanctions.
Senior administration officials announced this morning that Americans are prohibited from any financial transactions with Russia's central bank or Ministry of Finance or the National Wealth Fund of the Russian Federation. Treasury says Russian President Vladimir Putin relies on that fund to raise money. The Biden administration says it expects the EU and other countries to follow its lead. And this is important because Russia holds about $630 billion in a foreign currency reserve, and Russia won't be able to prop up the ruble by selling its foreign reserves.
Now, what about Russian energy supplies? Will Russia still be able to, say, sell natural gas to Europe here in the dead of winter?
Yes, and that is a carve-out. The administration officials say they are exempting what they call certain energy-related transactions. They say they're doing that because they don't want energy prices to spike too much. We talked about this today with Emily Kilcrease. She's a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. She says all of the sanctions on Russia, including barring it from the SWIFT financial messaging system, will hurt.
Hitting the central bank with sanctions, de-swifting, hitting the Russian banks that hold 80% of the assets of the Russian economy. This is all significant. This is all going to hurt. Russia's not going to like any of this.
And Nancy, time frame for the sanctions detailed today?
They took effect early this morning. The administration didn't want Russia to try to move some of its assets when U.S. markets opened today, so they decided to act before the market opened.
Nancy, thank you. The biggest state-backed investment fund in the world, Norway's, is selling off its Russian assets worth about $2.8 billion. And Citigroup has been doing the math and said today its Russian assets total more than $5 billion. Julia Coronado is an economist with long experience in international finance and a frequent contributor here.
There's lots of global linkages from Russia through other companies, other countries. And we have pretty much flipped the switch on them over a matter of days. So we will see as the days unfold how many banks are affected, how many funds and asset holders, investors are affected. And as we've learned from prior crises, sometimes that can be surprising.
Yeah, I mean, the term often used in a financial crisis is contagion effect. And it's not an answerable question what the contagion effect might be, if any. It's something that we all have to monitor.
Right, that's right. The headline impact obviously is through energy markets, although those are pretty calm this morning. But again, this is early days.
Julia Coronado, economist and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been reporting on shortages of workers in key fields, including healthcare here. Mental health professionals can be tough to book. Nurses continue to quit, with pay packages soaring for temporary visiting nurses. And today, the dentist shortage, even as states work to expand dental coverage for lower-income people through Medicaid. Blake Farmer of WPLN in Nashville reports.
In some states where low-income residents don't get dental coverage, charity dental events, like this one before the pandemic, would draw quite a crowd.
It's going to be a little bumpy, that's all.
Dr. Retrice Jackson spent the day digging out cavities at this 2018 event in Nashville. Patients also lined up for root canals and tooth extractions. Tennessee and Alabama don't provide dental coverage to adults on Medicaid, not even for painful emergencies. Now, Tennessee's Republican governor, Bill Lee, has proposed expanding dental benefits to all adults on Medicaid. That's more than 600,000 people. There's growing recognition, even among states that provide limited Medicaid benefits, that poor oral health contributes to other chronic problems, including diabetes and depression.
We also know that we have a lot of visits to the emergency room.
Stephen Smith leads Tennessee's Medicaid program and says many times patients with tooth trouble can be treated for far less at a dentist's office. But adding so many new patients at once presents a workforce problem. The dentist shortage touches virtually every state, but it's largely a rural issue. Dentists take on so much debt in school, often more than $300,000, that it's hard to justify setting up shop in a small town with fewer insured patients around. Dr. Lisa Piercy is the health chief in Tennessee.
There are only a handful of counties in this state that actually have an adequate number of dentists.
Her department's planning to pump nearly $100 million into the state's two dental schools so they can expand class sizes and offer to pay off student loans for those who go to high-need areas. And that sounds great to Dr. Jeannie Beauchamp, a pediatric dentist in Clarksville, Tennessee. The problem, she says, is it's hard to make money seeing mostly Medicaid patients.
You could not have a practice that you have more than 35-40% of your patients, Medicaid patients. You'd go broke.
Beauchamp says a bunch of new dentists may not stay long in those rural communities if Medicaid payments don't increase. And that's why Tennessee is also looking at raising what it pays for dental treatment. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.